From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. Next hour, the incredible story of an animal communicator. Her name is Bonnie Norton. Claims that she communicated with Kiko the whale. Remember him? He starred in the movie Free Willy. We'll be talking with Bonnie about that and just people's relationships with animals at the top of the hour. Next hour. Stephen Quayle has posted on his website a very strange story, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about it tonight. It has to do with Russia. Catastrophic worldwide weather chaos, coupled with Defense Minister Sergei Ivanov's sudden visit to the Siberian military district, now this is coming from a Russian reporter, are serving as a warning for the start of immediate preparations for more severe chaotic events to come shortly. It now appears, they say. Military activity has increased to a level not seen in decades, and many high-level military officials have been leaving the region by aircraft bound for underground cities, it's being reported. Much frantic activity is also being seen with many thousands of animals migrating towards the interior spaces between our mountains and leaving coastal areas with much speed. They also cited the strange news coming from the United States, a mistake in our emergency broadcasting system, signaling an evacuation of one of their eastern coastal regions, it writes, Connecticut. Well, that's true. That's what I reported on yesterday. Though being dismissed by many Americans as a mistaken order, this message does provide a notice that the American authorities are also aware of impending events and are themselves in preparation for the massive evacuations of their coastal residents. It is interesting to note, too, that the time frame as specified in the warnings coincides with the massive continuing sun explosions now occurring. It is estimated that the giant explosive regions of the sun, soon to be facing earthward again, will occur in less than a week's time. My take on all this, however, is one of interest, of course. James McCanney also believes the sun is acting up in a big way. But is this just the sky is falling, or are they onto something? I do not know. Stephen Quayle has this posted on his website, stevequayle.com. And I will continue to look at this story as it unfolds. This written by a Russian reporter. Well, weather forecasters, of course, are notoriously fickle. But bees, caterpillars, and bears are proving as divided as meteorologists on how long winter will last. Now, while January saw freezing temperatures in a lot of parts of the United States and colder weather from Europe and Japan, animal conduct around the world is giving mixed signals. Here's an example. Bees have built their hives close to the ground. If it was going to snow very heavily, they say, they would have built them higher up. Animal behavior is just one of the clues used by energy traders and analysts to try and predict temperatures in the U.S. Northeast, for example, the world's biggest heating oil consumer region. It's a barometer of oil demand. Back in autumn, oil analysts pointed to narrow patches of brown fur on the back of woolly bear caterpillars as a sign that the United States winter could be harsh. Frantic acorn gathering activity by squirrels appeared to confirm the prognosis. The world's most famous animal forecaster, Punxsutawney Phil, made famous by the film Groundhog Day, has just forecast 6 more weeks of winter. As he crawled from his Pennsylvanian hole on February 2nd and saw his own shadow. Animals. Goes on to write that there seems to be no doubt that many animals have senses more highly developed than humans to changes in their environment. Few large animals, for example, appear to have been killed in the recent Asian tsunami, while the human death toll has risen very, very high. And on top of that, they found 9 tsunami survivors on a remote island. 9 tribespeople who survived the December tsunami spent 38 days wandering through flattened villages on a remote Indian island, eating boars and coconuts. 5 men, 2 women, 2 young girls, discovered in a forest on Campbell Bay Island by police searching for people missing after the December 26 disaster that killed 160,000 people in 11 nations, at least 11,000 people killed in India alone. The 9 were belonging to the Nicobarese tribe, and they ranged in age from 11 to 65. Other than being dehydrated, they are doing okay. Well, HAARP is up to something. If you get onto the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories, take a look at story number 1, first artificial neon sky show created. It's by HAARP. So Nick Begich and everybody else who's been talking about HAARP all these years, they're absolutely right. Listen to this one. By shooting intense radio beams into the night sky, researchers have created a modest neon light show visible from the ground. The process is not well understood, but scientists speculate that it could one day be employed to light a city or generate celestial advertisements. That'll be great. Now you'll use HAARP to beam all kinds of things into the sky, you know, watch this show or something like that. Well, researchers at HAARP, at the project in Alaska, tickled the upper atmosphere to the extent that it glowed with green spectacles. The speckles were sprinkled amid a natural display known as the aurora borealis, or northern lights. The aurora occurs when electrons from a cloud of hot gas, known as plasma, rain down from space and excite molecules in the ionosphere, which is about 30 miles up. The HAARP experiment involves acres of antennas and a 1-megawatt generator. Now, the scientists sent radio pulses skyward every 7.5 seconds. Maybe that's why so many of us are beginning to feel weird these days. The radio waves travel up to the ionosphere, where they excite the electrons in the plasma. These electrons then collide with atmospheric gases, which then give off light as in a neon tube. Take a look at the pictures. They're playing with Mother Nature. I don't think it's a smart thing to do. Pope John Paul is tough. He's got God on his side. He had a restful night, and his condition stabilized after he was rushed to a hospital with breathing trouble. He will spend several more days at the clinic to recover from the flu now. Around the world, people pause to pray for the health of the 84-year-old pontiff. Tests show that John Paul's heart and respiration were normal, and he got several hours of rest. He's got a slight fever from the flu. He will spend a few more days at the hospital. There is, they say now, no cause for alarm. Boy, he's tough. In Texas, a Texas family, they say they have found the image of Jesus in their frying pan. Here we go again. Juan Pastrano, his wife Mary Lou, and son Juan made the discovery when they went to wash up after a fry at their home. Now they are keeping the pan in a sealed plastic bag while they decide what to do with it. 2 months ago, a woman who discovered an image of the Virgin Mary in her toasted cheese sandwich sold it for thousands to a casino company. A jewelry maker, 52-year-old woman, her name was Diana Deister, she was shocked when the bidding for this cheese sandwich went through the roof after she offered it for sale on eBay. She says, suggesting that this family from Texas follow her example and sell the frying pan on eBay. She says, I think they'll be amazed at how much it will sell for, and she's probably right. In New Jersey, this was tense. Imagine this on this plane. A corporate jet skidded off a runway on takeoff and hurtled across a 6-lane highway during the morning rush hour, smashing into 2 cars, punching through the wall of a warehouse. 20 people taken to the hospital, including 2 injured in their cars. Crew members and passengers walked or crawled from the burning wreckage after the crash at the Teterboro Airport, which is a small airport about 12 miles from Midtown Manhattan that caters to executive and corporate jets. Cause of the crash not immediately known. The Bombardier Challenger CL-600 had been chartered by a company, an investment firm, to take employees and guests to Chicago. President Bush assured Congress and all of us in his State of the Union that The country is confident and strong. He laid out his agenda for the coming year in his State of the Union address. Bush called on lawmakers to work with him to build a better world for our children and grandchildren. He talked a lot about Social Security. He said we must make Social Security permanently sound and not leave that task for another day. He said the best way of reaching that goal is through a government-run program of voluntary personal retirement accounts that would have a conservative mix of bonds and stock funds. And he says unless something is done, and done pretty soon, Social Security will be headed for bankruptcy. Now, at the same time, he said, we have a message for every American who is 55 years or older. So if that is you, listen, take heed. He said, do not let anyone mislead you. The Social Security system will not change for you in any way. Well, the biggest problem, of course, with Social Security is that it has no money. It has no money. People who are getting their checks are getting their checks because those of us who continue to work, you and me, are paying that on a regular basis to them. All the money they put in, which should have been kept for them, is gone. That was going to pay people who were retiring during those days. Now, when I retire, I think, at, let's see, 2012, that's the date, right? I went on the computer today and looked up what it would be, how much I would get in Social Security at that age, which would be 62 then. Maybe I won't retire. I think I just might continue working because it's not a lot of money for people. Federal Reserve, by the way, raised interest rates again for the sixth straight time, extending a policy of gradually lifting borrowing costs to levels high enough to, what they say, ward off inflation. The borrowing cost now for banks is now 2.5%. I wish we could get that, but we can't. Also on the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at this picture. A Chinese man grows his own chairs. I'm not kidding you. He's got a plan where he grows elm trees because they're a little more pliable. They don't break easily. And it takes him 5 years, but as the tree grows, he molds the branches into shapes, and then he cuts the pieces off. After about 5 years, trims them, and he's got chairs. Go take a look at the picture of him sitting down in the chair. And tonight, UPN and the Paramount Network Television Network have announced that this will be the final season of Star Trek Enterprise on UPN. The series finale will air on Friday, May 13th. I'll be meeting, by the way, strangely enough, Scott Bakula, who has played over the years Captain Jonathan Archer on Star Trek Enterprise. But this is it. This will be the last season for that program. Now, here are the numbers for you because we've got open lines west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is open for you, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. By the way, here's a breaking story for you. Georgia, that's the country of, Georgia Interior Minister says its Prime Minister, Zugrab Zhivanya, is found dead after an apparent gas leak. What a bizarre story is that. So the Prime Minister of the old Soviet Georgia, now it's Georgia, is dead after an apparent gas leak. Let's go to the show. Let's go to the lines west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. I'm Karen from Sacramento.
Hi, Karen.
I don't know if you've heard of the Fatima apparitions.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I've always wondered, the Blessed Mother said that if there was to be a war, the war would start with a strange light in the sky. And indeed, there was a strange red light in the sky, and 2 weeks later it started. But somebody said it was not an aurora borealis. Do you know what that was?
I do not know what it was, Karen. Mm-hmm. At all. But tell me a little bit about your belief in these three messages from Fatima.
Well, you can say, I'm a Catholic, and mm-hmm. so if the apparitions the Blessed Mother said certain things that came true, then you would have, you know, you'd want to believe that. You know, it wasn't they were making it up, the little children.
They say the third message has been revealed, but I don't think it has. I have a feeling it's a little more severe than what people have been saying.
Yeah, there's debate about that. I don't know about that either. I've read the what they've put out, but it other people have said they have not released it all. So.
Well, what about this, though, in terms of strange light in the sky? I don't know if you have a computer or not, but if you do, go to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Look at the strange neon lights that have been now created by us, man-made.
By the harp thing?
Yep.
Yeah, I was listening to you earlier. There's so much strange stuff going on around here. You'll never be able to figure it all out, will we?
No, not at all. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Wild Card Line, you're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Good evening, George.
Good evening to you. And where are you, Bobby?
I am right now in beautiful downtown Montrose, California.
Well, welcome. What are you ruffling, by the way? Papers or something?
Yeah, boy, this microphone works good.
It does.
Well, you know, I've come to realize there are no coincidences.
Well, welcome to the club.
Thank you so much. And the fact I got through so quickly tells me I must have something to say that's important. Well, anyhow, I was listening in great trepidation about your story about HAARP, and I just wanted to bring something up for you and your audience to consider.
All right.
Well, I understand some of these new taser weapons that they have emit a laser beam, which then fires an electric bolt, so there's no actual wires.
I think the new ones will do that. I don't know if they have them in the police department yet. I'm not sure.
Well, let's just take that up a few bolts and consider what's going on at HAARP. Just so you know, the electromagnetic spectrum, or the frequencies that are above the ionosphere, are actually generated, as you know, by the sun.
True.
So those layers up there are acting as a capacitor, so there's like a positive and a negative. Well, if HAARP just happens to do it just right and get the beam just right and enough energy just right, they may actually open a hole between the ionosphere and them, and there'll be this big black spot on Alaska where they are.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think it is very dangerous for them to be playing around with things that they do not understand, and they will freely admit that they don't know how some of these things are happening. I mean, that's pretty dangerous.
Absolutely. I remember the movie The Core very vividly a year ago, and the scenes of the entire Earth being scorched by these X-ray radiation. And so, in my mind's eye, I see somebody doing something, and they decide to use a laser beam, and somehow it gets just enough hole going through the atmosphere to create that capacitor charge-discharge, and there's going to be the biggest lightning bolt in the history of mankind.
You may be right, and I'm beginning to wonder about all these strange things that are happening with these weather patterns, these tsunamis, these earthquakes, if some of these might be caused by some of the things we're doing. For example, I mean, they have accused Exxon as being responsible for the tsunami, they being some of the residents who live in that region, because Exxon has been taking out gas and oil for years in that region, and they think that that has weakened some of the structure of the planet. And who knows? They might be right. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're up. Hi there.
Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure thing. No problem.
Two quick things. One, someone called the other night about dead people making phone calls.
Yeah, getting those 111s.
Yeah. Actually, I've received all eights. But anyway, my mother, she is 65 years old, and my sister had passed away many years ago. And the last few years of her life, she was in transit all the time. And every once in a while, she would call my mother, and she would call collect. Okay.
Yeah.
And my mother has never received a collect call in her life other than from Lisa.
From her, yeah.
And on Lisa's birthday, about 2 or 3 years after her death, the phone rang one night. My mother answered it, and it was an operator with a collect call for her. And she's like, "Who's calling?"
Yeah, really.
And the operator goes, "Hello." Huh? She was here a minute ago.
Strange.
Yeah. And another thing, there's a church in my town that has a row of stained glass windows on the side.
Okay.
One window was created by a local university art student back in the 80s.
I'm with you.
The early 80s. And it was depicted something to do with the end of the world. But in this stained glass window is the Twin Towers. Not only is the Twin Towers in the window, but it shows an airplane hitting it right where the tower was actually hit.
Do you have a picture of that? Or can you get one?
I definitely could get one. It's the church right in town here.
Oh, I'd love to see that, if you could get that to us. Email me the information of the church, and we'll dig it up, okay?
That'll be good.
Yeah, appreciate it. And you can send me an email at george@coast2coastacoastam.com. We'll do some homework on that one. I'd love to see that picture. And maybe interview the priest or pastor of the church. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue this hour on Coast to Coast AM.
Get it in writing with the After Dark newsletter. Subscribe by calling 1-888-727-5505. With George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Indeed, I want to tell you about the After Dark CD, which, by the way, went over splendidly in Austin, Texas. I'm glad I was there to be able to sign those CDs for so many people. But if you'd like to get this CD, it's a double CD, bumper music, unforgettable calls to the show, real calls to the program, and ghost stories. You can get it by going to www.afterdarkcd.com. That's afterdarkcd.com. Or you can call this toll-free number where operators are there now, 1-800-598-2331, 1-800-598-2331. They'll get it right out to you, as I sent in an email again to the producer of this CD, who's very upset that I'm only going to do one in my career, because he thought he had visions of number two and number three. Isn't going to happen. I just want this to be special, and so there it is. It's the only one I'll do. 1-800-598-2331 or afterdarkcd.com. And welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. I think I'm going to invite Scott Bakula on the program. I'm going to meet with him on Monday, and that would be neat to get him for one of our first hours just to talk about the Quantum Leap and Star Trek Enterprise. And I think he's going to do that because he wants me to come out to see the filming of what they're doing. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to go out to Paramount Studios next week and watch what they do. It'll be fun. But I'd like to get him back on the show. And we'll try to do that every once in a while to give you an opportunity to call in and talk to these people as well. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. What's on your mind? Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Scott, I'll tell you what, I always loved his Quantum Leaps. Those were always fun to watch.
He's a great actor.
He is a very good actor. Now, onward to what I was about ready to speak about. Whenever you were talking about the Chandler's Wobble, and you've been talking also about the satellites that were up in the air that were going to be able to almost reduce the nuclear power plants and also the nuclear plants all around the world.
Right.
If the satellites beam in the electricity and the energy, where would actually they beam it to, first of all? And to second of all, would the energy that would pass through our atmosphere and would pass through our ionosphere and a lot of our spheres that we have up in our outer space, as it's passing through, would it end up heating up the atmosphere and cause us to end up maybe having a little global warming?
All of those great questions. They could do all of the above. In terms of how do you get it, there'd have to be some kind of receive point at some central location somewhere, where they'd be able to beam down or download the energy from the sun, from these solar panels in space, right down into it. I asked that question of a scientist a couple months ago. What would happen, for example, if a plane flew through it or somebody happened to walk through that ray? He said that would be very dangerous. And so obviously, if we ever go that way, you can't have a lot of them. Because
it raises up a lot of questions. Matter of fact,
sure
I end up having a lot of questions myself about it. I was kind of wondering also if they end up doing that and they are able to supply all the energy for the entire United States and eliminate that 33 nuclear power plants, then what could they end up being able to almost do for electric cars, for instance? If they can be able to power the cars, for instance, they can power our homes. They can end up maybe even power a lot of other things that we end up we take for granted. We end up traveling cars, for instance, all across the United States, and it would almost do away with the fossil fuels.
Absolutely, which I think is what we need to do. Now, I'm not opposed to paying for energy. I don't think on this planet, because of the greed of some of these companies, we'll ever get to the point where energy is free, even though it should be. I think our economic structure on this planet seems to be based on making money from energy. So I don't mind paying something that is acceptable. You probably,
as a matter of fact, the president's State of the Union address just tonight addressed that he was trying to deal away with the fossil fuels. And whenever he was trying to deal away with the fossil fuels is being that maybe Iraq and a lot of the Middle East can be able to thrive off the oil themselves.
Absolutely.
And we can be able to thrive off of the energy that we're going to be able to create off of maybe the satellites. And there are other questions that might be able to be raised up from this.
That's true. I've got to run, but unfortunately.
And I was also wanting to try to get a hold of your After Dark newsletter.
Well, you don't call me on that. I can't help you. But go to my website at coasttocoastam.com, and right there at the bottom, there's a link up to the After Dark newsletter, and there's a phone number there, and you can just do what you have to do there if you want to order that and get that. I'll give you the phone number right now if you can remember it. It's 1-888-727-5505, but it's also on the website. But Bush got 4 more years in office. I don't think we're going to get away from our dependence on fossil fuels in 4 years. I wish we could, but I don't think that's going to happen. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, what?
This is Bobby from Illinois.
Hey, Bobby from Illinois.
Hi. I sent you guys an email earlier, and I was...
Yeah. Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And I was so glad to get a response.
See, we do that. I do that. When I can read an email and have the time, I'll respond. If not, I just read it and move on.
That is so great. I want to address what I was talking about on the first part.
Okay.
But I'm nervous. This is the first time I've called.
First time ever?
Yes.
Well, great. Don't be worried.
But I've listened to you for a long time, and then I used to listen to Art Bell, and then I started listening to you, and my significant other, just 15 miles south of me, is probably listening. He goes to sleep with it every night.
Good
so he,
for
he's
him.
Probably up.
A smart, significant other.
Yeah.
Grab
but,
onto that guy. Don't let him go.
I'm trying not to. And but anyway, I mean, I don't want to sound like an idiot here, or a weirdo, or paranoid.
Well, look, if I can't answer you, then I'll come across as the idiot.
Okay.
That's okay.
Well, does anybody else feel like an uneasiness, like when you send emails, you're afraid of...
Whoa, mama, what kind of uneasiness? Are you talking about governmental or
yes.
just strange stuff?
Yes, I mean, that and strange stuff. I live around about 35 miles north of a nuclear plant. And then I'm hearing this stuff. I'm not educated enough, but I'm listening to about these... the things they're putting, you know, in the atmosphere and, or whatever you were talking about a little while ago. I can't remember what it was called. But it's just that, it's just an uneasiness. And I just wondering if anybody else is feeling this.
Oh, you know. Yeah, they are. Lots of people. I mean, I continue to get messages from people. I begin to feel it sometimes, too. As a matter of fact, I have to honestly tell you, the last couple days, I am a very... high energy type person, and I think I'm pretty darn intuitive. The
I
last
think you are too.
The last couple days, I have felt so weird. I mean, weird, just tingly weird, and I can't figure it out. I mean, I feel okay. I mean, I thought for a moment, uh-oh, what's happening? Are you going
right,
to get the
yeah.
big one? But no, it's just a weird sensation, and a lot of people are feeling it. My problem is, and I'm sure yours is too, is I don't know why. I don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Now, I will say that before we had the tsunami, and I went on this program, and I said for a week before that, I was down in the cave in St. Louis, I was feeling strange vibrations on this planet. I didn't know what it was. And lo and behold, we have this massive shifting of tectonic plates and an earthquake down there. And look what happened. Now, I'm not going to stand up on my pillar here and say,
yeah, but I remember you saying that.
Yeah, and I did. On, you know, the night the Pope just had the flu, I led the program with it, and a lot of people chastised me for it, saying, what are you leading with a story like that? And I went on the air and said, I feel strange about this story.
I know.
The next day, he's rushed to the hospital. So in this same thing, with what you're feeling, I feel strange too, but I don't know what it is. And that's one of the problems with me. I don't know how to tie this into anything. All I know is it's weird.
It's almost like an animal that senses things. It's like, you know, I live in a small town, and sometimes I will go out and not even lock my door, not lock my car, my truck. And it's anymore, I lock my doors, which I've never used to do. I lock my apartment. And sometimes I think, you know, well, okay, quit being so, you know, I'm raised in the country, and I'm not scared. And people say, yeah, people tell me, just because you're not scared doesn't mean you're not going to get hurt. And I realize that, but it's just an instinct in me that I've been in the country, I've come home from work on second shift at 1 a.m., used to go into my home, and people at work would say, aren't you so scared going home in the country out there all in the dark by yourself? What am I scared of? What is out there that's going to, you better be scared of the people around you in the big cities.
I think what you're feeling, Bobby, is something that we're all feeling, and we just can't put our finger on it. And it's out there. Hey, let me move on to another call. Thanks for the email, by the way, and I'm glad you were able to get some response from me on that. Let's go to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Fraser Valley in British Columbia.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
Hi. Well, how's it going anyways?
It's going
good
fine.
To talk
Thank
with
you.
You.
Thank you.
Pretty
You're very
cool.
kind.
I listened to you guys for a long time there. I got two things I wanted to ask about. The first thing is a dream that I had last night.
All right.
And I don't know, it's just kind of strange that everybody's talking about these strange things. I was just, like, sound asleep, and then I woke up to the consciousness of an airplane, like an piston type, you know, like an older, loud, you know, piston type airplane. And it sounded like it was flying either right into me or right over my head. And then right after I heard that, I kind of came awake, too, but I couldn't move. I was like paralyzed. I couldn't even open my eyes. And then after a while, I guess, I don't know if the feeling kind of drifted away, and then I went back to sleep. But I remember that experience, like, this morning when I woke up, and I was kind of like, wow, I told my friends about it.
Well, you know, there was a small plane crash this morning in New Jersey in the United States where 20 people were injured when a plane went off the runway
and
smashed into some cars in a warehouse. I don't know. Maybe you picked that up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. And then the other thing I wanted to ask about is those chemtrails.
Yes.
Like all these jets, like... I used to notice when the jets would fly overhead, like the trails would kind of eventually evaporate. But you guys are mentioning that they stay pretty well all day, right? And then they drift into like a cloud.
Absolutely.
And then there's like the haze after and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I sent Art an email about it, and a lot of people around here, like just a few weeks ago, a friend of mine said, you know, all these contrails out today. And I didn't really take a look because I've seen them lots before, and there's not much I can, you know what I mean? I just put it off and carry on. But anyways, he mentioned it, and it stuck in my mind. And then a few days later, like, everybody's been catching this flu. And they're got stomach cramps, nosebleeds, stuffy noses, bleeding noses, like just not really dripping out of your nose.
Well, and also what has been going on is we've got this stagnant air advisory that's hitting the Midwest as well. As far as chemtrails are concerned, I don't have an answer for you, other than I do believe that they're spraying something. And is it changing weather patterns or what? Maybe. But let me tell you something. If they're playing around because of HAARP and chemtrails and things like that, and we're seeing this dramatic turn of events weather-wise very quickly, too. I mean, this is something that is like, you know, if a rabbit could breed and breed and breed, I mean, that's what's happening to our weather right now. I mean, it's changing that quickly. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir.
I was supposed to do this.
Yep, okay. Where are you driving?
I'm in southbound on 65 up above Huntsville, Alabama.
Well, you drive carefully, and what's on your mind tonight?
I was noticing that everybody, I've been listening kind of distraught about things that are going on today. Well, my fiance, she is an artist, and she's, although it don't make no difference to me, she's also Catholic, so she does the meditation thing, you know. And back in the end of the first Desert War over there in Iraq, you know, where they had the oil wells on fire.
Yep, back in 91.
Yeah. Well, she was really distraught about that, worried about World War III and all this. Well, make a long story short, one night she dreamed and had a vision. And what I'd like to do is send you this to your email. She painted this vision.
Okay, and so you've got that? You can send that to us?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's a picture of the heavens and the earth and angels descending, circling the earth, and going back up. And the message that she got through her dream was, everything is under control.
That's finally, we get a good message here.
And I would love, and you know, if you want to put on your site, it's very peaceful. It's called Peace Flight.
Okay. I tell you what, do you have our email address?
I heard you say George at Coast to Coast AM.
.com or Lex, L-E-X, at coasttocoastam.com. And make sure you put the T-O in between the two coasts, okay?
Okay.
You got to do that.
And she also, you know, during meditating, she has had, and she's kind of, don't want people to think she's weird or nothing, but.
Nah, you won't, angels not with have, this show.
I know, that's the reason I'm calling you, is she also has had, during her meditation, angels present themselves, and she has drawn like their head, and it is really fascinating.
Send us some of that. I'd love to see that.
I will, because I know you'd love to see it.
Okay, and if Lex likes them, we'll post them. He's my photographic editor.
Oh, that'd be fine. But I think the Peace Flight is something that is very reassuring.
Okay, great. Hey, so are you a Teamster or independent?
I work for company called Titan Transfer.
All right, because every time if I ever talk to Teamsters, I want to ask them if they know where Jimmy Hoffa is. I still want to break that story.
Well, he's probably been recycled several times.
Yeah, that's what I think. All right, you drive carefully.
Okay, thanks.
All right, sure thing. Let's go west of the Rockies while we still have a little time. Hi there.
Is it me?
I think it is.
Oh, I can't believe I'm talking to George Norrie.
You're not.
Oh, God, this is, hey.
This is the call screener.
I'm already worried. I'm already thinking
Tom.
About you. I'm already thinking about you retiring. I already miss you.
Well, I'm not gone yet.
I know, but my husband, I listen to you all night. I can't sleep, so you're on all night. My husband and I just keep you on all night. But anyway.
That's 7-8 years from now. By then, the network will talk me out of it. I'll probably be here for another 100 years.
Yeah, I started listening right around the time that Art Bell came back from retirement.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've got a couple things. I've got a bunch of things, so I'll just pick two.
I got a minute, so it's all yours for 1 minute. Go for it.
Oh, God. Okay, I was first married, living in Huntington, West Virginia. My husband worked the morning shift. I left early. And he'd leave in the morning. I knew he left, and I heard these sounds, you know. And then I heard these, like, people or spirits coming into my bedroom, and I was scared to death, like I couldn't move. So I whispered. I couldn't even talk. I said, leave, you're scaring me. And it happened, like, 2 or 3 times. My husband thought I was, you know, losing it. But it happened, I said, you know. I mean, they were just talking to me. I was just scared to death, and I just could not move. And I think that was more than just my imagination.
Maybe.
Very scary. So.
Maybe.
I love your show. I hope you know what it is.
It's a mystery of the mind. That's what it does. It makes you think.
Well, my husband thought I was losing it. I hope your daughter had a happy birthday.
She did.
Well, that's good.
Somebody, I told them that I announced last night that she was born on February 2nd. Somebody, somebody sent me a wonderful email praising my little 2-year-old daughter. And they got it. They mixed things up a little bit. And I went, no, I don't have a 2-year-old.
Oh, I was gonna say.
She's not 2, but not by any means. She's got her own little ones, as a matter of fact.
Well, I'm gonna have to call back sometime because there's a lot I need to talk to you about. But any chance I could get a picture?
Yeah, absolutely. Just email and we'll get you one. Okay, and we'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue. Now our guest, interesting story here. Bonnie Norton, she claims that she has communicated with Kiko, who is the whale in Free Willy. Now, Kiko is no longer with us, but she communicated with Kiko during his days on this planet. It's a remarkable story, but she's an animal communicator, so we're going to talk with her about that, too. Maybe even find out why she thinks these animals that were in that tsunami had this sixth sense, and they were able to escape and get away. I'll be back.
Want to time travel? Go back to past shows on Streamlink. Sign up online at coasttocoastam.com.